Welcome to another fantastic episode of Cardboard Fever. Matt and I are here. We've got plenty to go over this week. Hope everybody enjoyed last week's episode diving into the draft. And as always, guys, check out Pastime Marketplace to keep your cards safe and secure. They fit slabs, they fit raw cards, they've got small boxes, medium boxes, large boxes, and even an XL box like the one that is sitting next to me right here. So check it out. The link, as always, is in the show notes. And if you go to our Twitter on the episode post, you can find it there as well. Now that I've gotten through that, Matt's going to bring up his first topic, and granted, I don't know what it is, so it is a total surprise to me.
Good. I like that. So, as you know, summer is coming up. Well, it doesn't seem like that in Pennsylvania, at least. But summer's on the horizon. It's still spring, and card shows are a big topic amongst the hobby family. I know you've been to a few card shows. I have not. Oh, you've been to trade shows. Never mind.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, trade shows.
Well, I mean, nothing card related. Trade shows for the podcast world, yeah.
Okay. Well, in a specific text, you told me you've been to trade shows, and that's what I'm getting into my question about, or my topic about. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I've been to one card show, but it was like before I was really into the topic or the hobby in one of my old friends, he took a Brett Favre rookie card there, thought he had a gem, and it was like a $2 card. It got depressed. Anyway, so card shows. So I know you're going to the one in Philadelphia. I believe the one in Chicago is on, as far as I know. Me and Blake are planning to go to that one. I know you had talked about it, but what I want to get at is, you being at trade shows, so this changes my question a little bit, but I guess you can kind of relate podcasting to the hobby as well. What's the best way to go to a show and market yourself if you've never done it before?
Yeah, great question. So I do a couple trade shows a year in the podcast world. For those who are wondering, I'll go slightly off topic here. I don't want to call it 9 to 5 because, as Matt knows, I literally just wrapped up doing some work about 5 minutes ago, and it's 10 o'clock on Tuesday evening, is in the podcast world. So I go to a lot of shows with other tech companies every year. Obviously last year was a little different, but man, there are so many ways, so many unique and cool ways that you as a card seller or breaker or whatever you're doing out there, even if you're just going to shows to check out cards and you're like, hey, I want to keep in contact with people I meet. Obviously, you can go old school and just pass out a business card with your logo on it or your name and your Twitter on it. You can keep it real simple, real low budget. That gets you in the door. That's, hey, let's keep in contact. Because trust me, the name of the game is I want to make contacts for the long haul. Obviously, you want to have a successful show, but obviously you want to be successful after the show as well. But there's some cool things. Obviously, you could do stickers with your logo on them. People love stickers. I don't know why, especially racing fans, Matt. Stickers on coolers, stickers on your laptop. Stickers are like everywhere. Speaking of which, if you want a Cardboard Fever sticker, I have about 10 or 15 left in my stack here, and I'm sure Matt has some as well. But The really cool thing that you can do is, and I am going to pull this up right now, and they're not super cheap, but they're not too expensive, is you can actually get a QR code printed on a business card.
We talked about this. That sounds cool.
So it's like a smart business card. And they have some kind of like super fancy ones now. But for example, I have them for Pit Lane Parlay, my other podcast. And what it does is I have two. I have not printed new ones since the pandemic for obvious reasons of I'm not really doing too much traveling. And one was for Android users that it went to Spotify. One was for Apple users. And when you scan the code, it automatically brought up the show in your Apple podcast app. So, all right. So you're not a podcaster. You're just a seller. You can have the QR code go to your Twitter page or an email list or a Facebook page or something like that. Something where people can find you afterwards. So that's another good thing is how to be accessible after the show in a way that, you know, people are going to be like, wow, that's a pretty cool card. And you could print one and just kind of have people scan it so that you don't have to print out, you know, 25 of them, or you can print 20 of them and say, hey, here you go. You get to keep this and scan my show. So it's kind of like a double way to be remembered. They have fancy ones that are like metal cards that look like, you know, look like a credit card. So you have a little bit of an upscale feel to it. That's, you know, maybe a little pricey. I think they're like $50 a card, but yeah, things like that I think are really important to building relationships in the long term. And then I guess the last thing, and I'll end on an easy note in what to do at shows, is show up early, stay late, and talk to as many people as humanly possible. And I know it's kind of hard because not everybody's like super sociable. I have my moments where I kind of go into a shell or I get tired. Take a break, go sit in a corner and chill out for a little bit. But meet as many people as you can, because you never know down the line when those people will come in handy for a business opportunity, whether it be cards or who knows when you need another person. So be ready to have some long days and walk around a lot. Yeah, I'm doing a smaller local show at the Valley Forge Casino. Actually, I think it's exactly a month today. Chad Ochocinco is signing autographs there. And then there's a brand new Philly sports and collectibles show that I'm doing with Hive Cards group member Anthony Pepe. And might be doing some more cool stuff with that. That's at the Fillmore in Philadelphia. It's brand new, just first year. The Fillmore is a big concert venue in Philly, so it's a really nice place. So I'm excited to do that. And then, yes, I'll also be doing some podcast conferences at some point, hopefully this year as well. So I love trade shows and conferences because I like meeting a lot of people at one time. You know, you can kind of, whereas Twitter, you have to like DM somebody or send a message and you might get a reply or you might not. You can just walk up to somebody and go, you know, they don't have a choice but to talk to you, or they can tell you to screw off, and in which case you don't want to do business with them anyway. I wish I was doing Chicago, but I probably won't end up getting out there this year. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I definitely feel that if you're not a social person, car show is probably not for you. I had one friend. We were up in Wisconsin for a Penn State game, and he not a very social person. I had too many to drink and left our tickets in the car, so I had to take a taxi back. And he was like frozen until I got back because he was around a bunch of people he didn't know. So like, yeah, if you're not a social person, the card shows probably aren't for you. You probably do better in the Twitter world. But I still think a card show is a pretty cool experience that I think any hobby collector should try to experience at least once if you're into the hobby.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for those who are less social, that's okay. Just pace yourself. It's okay to have to take a break, sit down, or, you know, leave and go grab a cup of coffee and just kind of, you know, stand outside and get some air. That's totally okay. Nobody will judge you for needing to take a break. All right. I wanted to, before we transition here, as we're kind of a third of the way through, we've had some new releases come out recently, and we haven't really gone through just kind of what to expect in the near future. So last week, it was probably 2 weeks ago, Bowman Baseball came out. They look amazing. I got into one, a random team break. I got the Mets. I got one chrome of a prospect, but otherwise not my best break. But the cards are super cool. Very nice. A little expensive as Bowman baseball usually is, but definitely recommended. Panini Diamond Kings baseball, unlicensed, but pretty cool. And now there's a couple cool ones. Panini Prism UFC MMA. I couldn't tell you anything about MMA. Literally couldn't tell you outside of Conor McGregor. I know nothing. But these cards are going for good money. So if you're an MMA fan, check it out. Chronicles Football just released about 10 days ago. Those look super nice. Let's scroll down here.
You love Chronicles.
Yes, Chronicles looks really, really nice. The Bowman Mega Box, the Chrome, just came out about 4 days ago.
The acetate cards are really, really, really nice in the Chronicles. They're just, and the Prism Black, I mean, they're, like I said, I wish they were their own product, but that would make them less special. But they're just such nice cards.
Yeah, I agree. Panini Impeccable Premier League Soccer came out a couple days ago. Premier League is always a good one to go after if you can afford it. Mosaic has two soccer releases, La Liga and Serie A. I think Serie A is Italy and La Liga is
Serie A.
Serie A, thank you. I'm not
that is Italy.
Yeah, and La Liga, I think, is Spain. So Upper Deck Artifacts Golf. That's a cool one. That comes out. Actually, that comes out today when this releases. Yay.
I saw someone post about that, actually. That looks pretty cool.
Contenders Basketball. Oh, Contenders. I don't care about that. That was pretty beat for NFL last year. Let's see here. I'll go two more that are coming out in the new future. Panini Contenders Draft Picks. Obviously, people will go crazy for that because it's draft picks, even though it's a below average set. Don't buy it. I'm going to say now, don't buy it. Wait until they're in their NFL jerseys in a couple months from now. And then
no one's going to do that. It's like a drug. As soon as it comes out, they have to have it. Like, agreed, but like, see, that's the thing. Not to get you off topic, but like that's the thing I've been thinking about with cards. So, like, realistically, if I had self-control, I would wait until Select comes out next year. But I have zero self-control. I mean, I'm not waiting a full year until Select NFL comes out. Like, I'm just not. Like, I don't know many people that have self-control to wait to that many products just for that product to come out. I mean, maybe that's just me. And that could be for any product that you like. It could be Flawless, Impeccable. It could be one of the later products like Optic Contenders. But like I get it. Like, I agree. Like, the product you just mentioned, Prism Draft Picks, like, they're not worth anything. Like, I remember, like, I showed you when I first was getting back into it, and I got a couple Obi Toppin Prism Draft Picks cards, and they were going for like 15 or 20 bucks. They're draft pick cards, and now they're worth like $5. Like, it's an overreaction. People are going to buy it because it's the first thing out there. Like even my, like, you know, Halliburton's calmed down a little bit, but when his first, what was his first rookie card? The NBA Hoops card. When that card first came out, it was $20 minimum. And I've seen it going for 40 or 50, and now it's like a $5 card. So, I mean, it's just whether you have the self-control to wait or not. I mean, you can realistically go back and still collect all the rookie cards of your favorite player, but you just got to, and you can get it for cheap. You just got to wait. Like, you could literally, I mean, like, okay, say if I went back in time and just waited to get a Halliburton NBA Hoops card for $5. I didn't. I spent 20 bucks like a couple of times, but just, that's the thing. It's almost like, you know, it's like a drug. Like, they suck you in. You just have to have more. But if you have the patience, I mean, good for you. But it's I mean, it's almost like, I don't know how to say. It's not worth having the patience because there's so many other fun products out there to rip. And, you know, I don't want to go a year without ripping.
So I agree. That's why I like all that's listen, I agree, but I am going to refrain from it this year just because there's so much coming out all summer that can keep you busy. Otherwise, there's a couple Upper Deck SP game used. I forget the exact name of it because I've scrolled away from it right now. For hockey, Upper Deck Trilogy is decent for hockey. Comes out next week. SPX Hockey. Sorry, that's what I was looking for. Comes out the end of the month. That's a really good one to go after. But now that I'm looking at like the list for the entire year, and there's a bunch that I honestly would have not expected, but are pretty cool. By the way, I think Mosaic NBA for 2021-2022, I guess, comes out in the summer. So whenever it came out last year, it looks like it's coming out again this year. Now, let me see here. There is one that's a June release. Upper Deck is releasing an Alexis Lafreniere, the number one overall draft pick from the past year, collection. Why?
He's been terrible.
He got better as the year came on, and I'm not necessarily worried about him long term. But I mean, at that point, it's like this is when you start to think, are we overprinting? Agree or disagree?
From that point, yeah. But I from a collecting standpoint, he's already lost his chance at being the next Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Ovechkin or even Gino. You have to have a good first year. You have to have an exceptional first year, and he didn't have it. So on to the next one for me. But I agree. I mean, yeah. I mean,
100% on that take.
I mean, that's fair. I know you played hockey in college. I've talked to a couple other buddies that played hockey in college, and that's their take on it. And I tend to lean towards that just because I haven't seen too many stars in hockey that have came out of the, like, mega superstars come out slow. Even Austin Matthews was a stud all right off the bat. Same with Patrick Kane. But
yeah, there's been a few guys that, listen, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Sidney Crosby, but I think he can still be a superstar.
That's fair. Fair. I don't think he's going to be better than Rick Nash at this point. And Rick Nash wasn't a megastar.
Yeah, and even, yeah, that's okay. That's interesting comparison.
I'm just like the wow factor. Like the dude, what's the dude from Minnesota that's balling out right now?
Kaprizov.
Yeah, like is he a wing or something, or is he a center?
Yeah, he's offense. I honestly can't. I think he's a wing, but I should know this, but I don't.
Well, so just based off the hype that he's getting, I think his trajectory right now is a bit better. And I would, if I was investing in the card world, I would invest it in him right now over Lafreniere. Unless you're a guy that likes to invest while there's a hot prospect that's low, then I think Lafreniere is for you. But I just I don't know. I just like what I've read about I keep forgetting his name, but I've read a bunch of articles on him. The dude from Minnesota.
Yeah, Kaprizov.
My buddy loves him. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, that listen, he's definitely the hot one. But yeah, investing while Lafreniere might be a little undervalued is definitely a good idea. There are some awesome products coming out throughout the summer and later this year.
Hockey has really nice products for like not being as valuable of cards. Like they really do.
Yes, there's a lot of awesome hockey. There is more Formula One coming out this year. And
nice.
A lot of baseball.
What product is Formula One?
There is 2021 Topps Formula One Standard Edition, I guess. There is Dynasty again, which I will likely not buy again because a box costs me more than my mortgage. And I think that's it for right now. So just two more releases unless
probably Topps paper for you then.
Yeah, I mean, I can afford that. I hope. I mean, probably not, because everything Formula One is ridiculously priced. Stadium Club Baseball comes out next month, which means Stadium Club Chrome will probably come out later in the summer at some point. I can't find it on the list here, but
fun product.
Yeah, there's just a lot. MLS, Topps Chrome MLS, which I will buy because Chris, MLS card guy, will probably tell me who to invest in there.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, Chris, happy birthday. Should I have known that, or is it? I don't think I'm Facebook friends with him, so I wouldn't know.
He doesn't even use Facebook anyway, so yeah, I just saw it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I'll tell him.
Yeah, yeah. Pass along the message. Another set I would tell you to avoid, since we're on the topic, Leaf Metal Draft Football comes out in a month and 10 days. Leaf doesn't have an NFL license. The box is cheap. It's like $100 for the box. But, I mean, there is no value in those cards. You could get last year a Burrow autograph Leaf Metal for like $200, I think, which all things considered is pretty cheap. And I just don't think they're that nice. I sold it. I had a Kyler Murray autograph Leaf that I got on eBay for like $50, and I sold it for maybe $100. But that's, yeah, I don't know. That's another one. I'm avoiding most unlicensed stuff this year, but I'm going to kind of contradict myself and say baseball wise, the Diamond Kings, which comes out a couple weeks ago, is one that I'll probably buy a box because I just like baseball. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we already talked about that. You just said it didn't come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, there's so much baseball and basketball that, like, just looking at this list, your brain starts to kind of like melt together because there's just so much. There's a lot of hobby boxes coming out this year.
So I didn't mean to cut you off there. I thought there was a glitch and I thought you were done, but I want to get your opinion on this. I do this in my racing show. We talk about our Twitter poll. And our Twitter polls do fairly well. This wasn't our most successful one, but I actually got more interaction via comments than I did votes on this one. Who is the greatest defensive center fielder of all time, in your opinion, in our lifetime?
So, and because I know you posted the poll, can you remind me what your poll options were?
So I posted Mike Trout, and everyone agreed to vote him out. And I just put that in there for younger kids because I know everyone else I listed, no one else would have seen. You know, no offense, but like kids like Hive Cards and even Chris, they're younger. The people that I listed were Andre Jones, Ken Griffey Jr., and Jim Edmonds. And then my honorable mention was Kenny Lofton, and someone reminded me about Torrey Hunter, who I can't believe I forgot. I almost
shame on you.
Hit myself in the head. I can't believe I forgot about Torrey. But yeah, so those are the five.
Okay.
Ignore Trout. I mean, he's up there, though. It's not that he's a bad defensive center fielder. He's just not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. Trout, I think, could be. So let's see here. I am just, well, everybody's wondering what I'm doing. I am just looking at couple things. Torrey Hunter, yeah, I would have forgotten about that one too, if I'm being completely honest with you.
And that's really embarrassing on both of our parts because he was just phenomenal.
I'm going to eliminate one. We're going to do this by process of elimination here. I am going to eliminate, oh boy, this is hard. I'm going to eliminate Jim Edmonds first. Sorry to Jim Edmonds fans.
Oh, that's so disappointing. That was one of my top guys.
I'm not saying he's not a top guy, but
because he arguably has the greatest catch of all time.
I would still say the Willie Mays one over that, but point taken. I know what catch you're talking about, at least.
I'm glad you know, but okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Andre Jones because not only does he have – so him and Torrey Hunter both have 990 fielding percentages all time. Andrew Jones also has 124 career outfield assists. Torrey Hunter has 131. Torrey Hunter played 18 seasons. Andrew played 17 seasons.
Yeah, but Andrew tailed off after they were just talking about it during the Braves game. And John Smoltz would be the first person to know. He tailed off after he turned 30, Andrew Jones, real hard.
Yeah, but looking at Torrey Hunter's fielding, his worst fielding seasons were worse than Andrew Jones's worst fielding seasons.
Interesting. I mean, but still, that happens when you play longer. What year was that in?
So for Torrey Hunter, it was his about 14th, 15th big league season. For Andrew Jones, it was about the same. So about the same career point, you know, in games played. Obviously, they ended their careers at slightly different times. But
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I don't know. It's like a flip a coin and put Andrew's face on one side and Torrey's face on the other side. And whatever it comes up with, I would support. I don't.
So Griffey, Lofton, or just no?
Lofton is an honorable mention. I don't.
Agreed. See, Griffey won the vote, which didn't surprise me just because in the hobby, Griffey gets more respect. I kind of figured he would win the vote. But, you know, no disrespect to the people that voted. But if you're a baseball, like, aficionado, you know that Torrey Hunter, Andrew Jones, and I'm sorry, but I'm throwing Jim Edmonds in there. That was before the all those run save metrics they have out now. Can you imagine what Jim Edmonds, Andrew Jones, and Torrey Hunter would have been on all the statistics they have now?
Yeah, no, I'm not even honestly looking at those, but
they didn't have those, so you can't. That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine if they had those?
Yeah, I mean they've figured out ways to retroactively go out. That being said, the reason Griffey gets so much love is he's got 154 career outfield assists, which is 20 more than Jones or Torrey Hunter. But I think either of those guys had more complete defensive seasons at the tail end of their careers than Griffey did. Unfortunately, Griffey got hurt and had to DH a bunch and then went back to Seattle in his last couple of years and was essentially a DH.
Griffey sold tickets. I mean, you went to the show to see Griffey. Yeah,
he had cannon for an arm. So I get it. He's the flashy pick.
But I will say this. I disagree with you on one point. I don't think he gets more love because he has more outfield assists. I mean, that's a nice statistic. Like voters know that. But he gets more love because, I mean, if you're just getting into the hobby, you're a casual baseball fan, you know Ken Griffey Jr. If you're a casual race fan, you know Dale Earnhardt Jr., Lewis Hamilton. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know who Torrey Hunter is. You don't know who Andrew Jones is. So I just think that's the reason he gets more hobby love.
Yeah, fair. All right, we've got just a couple minutes left here. Again, guys, make sure to check out Pastime Marketplace to keep your cards safe. I will post an Instagram picture of it. Actually, if you go to our at Card Fever Pod on Instagram and go to our little Instagram story, there's one of their posts that I shared from the past 24 hours. And if it disappears off the story, I will share it again when this episode releases. And tonight is Wednesday night, which means our High Rollers Twitter thread with Hive Cards will be posted around 9 p.m. Eastern. Matt, we're going to end with one question, and you can only give one answer. You're buying one player in any sport for the next week. Who are you? Who's your weekly target?
Is it like right now? Like right now in this day?
Right now. Right now, you're only allowed to buy one guy for the next week. Hypothetically, I'm not saying you actually have to.
Man, wow, we're gonna have to edit some of this because I'm gonna need a second to think about this. Jeez, what a question! I never Jeez, I'm like, this guy, you're this guy, and Haley Deegan. Man. Jeez, what a question, dude. Like, that's really not fair, dude. Like,
I know.
So, like, NFL guys aren't out right now. I'm not particularly in the mood for, like you said, the contenders, even though they're the draft picks, even though they're not out yet. So it has to be this week. Dude. All right, dude. So, you know what? Screw it, dude. It's the end of the NBA season. He just came back in from being injured. I'm going to go back on the because essentially, for me, once the season ends, like, I'm over the rookies. I know I got back into it with the NFL and, like, the select and all that, but, like, once the new draft class rolls in is what I mean. I'm kind of over it. And with the NBA, I'll probably be over the NBA once the season's over, just because I like football more and baseball more, so I'll move that way anyway. But yeah. I'm going to go with Poku for the next week. My guy, Poku. Okay. I think anyone, you know, I've read some articles. I've seen some, quote, analysts talk about him, and, you know, they think that he's one of the best talents on that team. And, you know, I've been high on him for about a month now. You know, he's been 5 for 7 of me on personal bets. So the one thing from a betting aspect, and you can turn this into a hobby aspect if you will too, but, you know, especially in the NBA that have nothing to play for, you know, they tank. Or they just don't try because they're thinking about where they're going on vacation for the summer. It's summer. It's not like the NFL when you're off in the winter. You know what I mean? So the guys that really go off at the end of the year, I try to pay attention to, because you can kind of buy low on them. And I'm going to do Poku.
Okay. I'm going to go baseball, and I'm going to go two here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was about to answer, then I was like, maybe I should change my mind, then maybe I shouldn't. I'm going to stick with, and not that I've been buying his cards because they're a bit overpriced. Maybe they'll come down now because he's quieted down a little bit, but Yermín Mercedes, the White Sox, I think he's pretty much DHing right now, but he was a catcher in the minors.
He was a catcher? Oh my God.
Yeah, he's, you know, one of those stocky, shorter guys that is a good
like catcher. Carlos Santana build, like back when he used to be catcher.
Exactly. So somebody like that would be my target because his cards are probably starting to come down in value now, but I think he's still a damn good hitter and worth investing in plus more. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it there because we are just about at our normal half hour.
Well, who is your second one? You can't just say you're going to pick a second, then not say it.
Well, I didn't want to break the rules since you.
Well, I'm curious now.
Oh, my second was going to be, I think we're going to see a little bit of a dip in Tatis prices because he is on the COVID list right now. So
I don't think so, dude. I think if you were going to see his prices dip, it was going to be when he got hurt. He's such a stud, dude.
I know. That's why I bought early before the season started. And I think okay, let me change my reasoning. I think when football draft pick cards start coming out and all of these other cards start coming out,
Tatis
might get lost in the shuffle. So maybe I wait this week and
I can get a bowl with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
when's draft picks coming out? This week?
No, it's a couple weeks. It might be next month. I honestly took down the list at this point.
Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah, that's a more I can more agree with that answer. I do think that there's so many people in the hobby like there are now, they tend to get drawn to, like I said, whatever comes out is the hot product. So when football comes out, I think Tatis and other baseball people will be forgotten about, unless you're a true diehard baseball collector. And there are a bunch of them out there, but still the fact that a percentage of the hobby won't be paying attention to them, that'll still drop your price a little bit, I believe.
Yeah, you're 100% right. his value will never go as low as I would want it to because I'm a big fan, but nonetheless, he's
a ticket seller, man. Yeah, he's just too good.
He's even with one shoulder, he's still playing very well right now. For this. So, well, guys, tune into the Twitter thread tonight. I'll post some stuff on Instagram today as well when this episode comes out, which should be around midday Eastern time. Feel free to tweet at us and tell us your thoughts. Tell us what you want to see us talk about next week. All feedback is more than welcome. On that note, Matt, go ahead and wrap us up for the week.
Yeah, definitely. If you ever want to see us talk about a product, feel free to let us know. We're always open to suggestions. But on that note, we appreciate each and every one of you for continuing to find us on every platform we're on, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the works. We appreciate that, and we hope that you continue to do so. And with that, let's keep living the dream and living the hobby.